Hi, good morning, everyone. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you very much for the day today, Lord. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to spend time with you, Lord. I pray and welcome Holy Spirit, come and anoint my tongue, Father God. Whatever I speak, it will be of you, Lord. And anything that is not of you, Lord, will not be registering in the minds of people that are listening, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Morning, everyone. Today I'll be sharing from the book of Matthew. I will be reading from Matthew 4, verses 18 to 22. So we'll be reading, Matthew 4, 18 to 22. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Amen. So it's a sh short passage, but as I was reading this passage, a question came into my mind on why Jesus chose fishermen to begin his ministry work in building the church and expanding the kingdom to the world. Of course, not every disciple that Jesus chose were fishermen, but the Bible tells us that at least seven of the first 12 disciples were fishermen by trade. I don't think that was an accident where Jesus chose these individuals to be his first disciples. So the question in my mind was like, why fishermen? Jesus himself was a carpenter. Why a carpenter by trade would choose a bunch of fishermen and tell them, "Okay, I'll teach you how to fish people," basically telling them he will use these people to evangelize to the world. So I was preparing, I came across some traits of fishermen, which I want to share with all of you. And by understanding their trade, we can also understand how we can be fishers of men and some of the traits needed to evangelize to others. So before that, I'll start with a bit of an introduction of this industry. So the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Lake of Gennesaret, is a freshwater lake in Israel. It's about 13 miles long and 7 miles wide. So since biblical times, the lake has been an important source of protein for the surrounding land. The fishing industry flourished in the time of Jesus. The ruling tetrarchs Herod and Philip, they were the son of King Herod, made a great investment in the industry and provided a stable political environment for it to grow. Jewish historian Josephus states that there were more than 230 fishing boats working in the sea during that period. Peter and Andrew, together with James and John, were part of this industry. Peter and Andrew worked their fishing operation in partnership with James and John. We can read from Luke 5:10 about this. And I can safely say Peter, Andrew, James, and John were quite content with their work, enjoying a good income and probably quite well known within that trade. But when Jesus said, "Follow me," they immediately left their trade and started following him. Why would Jesus select them? So here are some of the traits characteristics that I want to share of a fisherman. The first we can learn is teamwork. Fishing industry during Jesus' days was highly profitable, but it was strenuous work and need major organization. Usually, when they go out fishing in deep water, two or three boats would work together to set up a team And between those boats, there'll be nets. They'll be casted, and they will use all those nets to chase the fish into a corner or into a huddle and then catch them. This would be done 7 or 8 times during the night, and by morning, the fishermen could bring their catch back to shore. So they have to cooperate, all the boats have to cooperate with each other in order to catch those fish. After catching the fishes, they will have to manually pull in the net onto the boat. This was a hard task. The nets usually aren't light, so one person cannot do it alone. The crew have to work as a team to accomplish the goal of catching the fish and pulling them onto the fishing boat. They do not let one person do all the work. And as followers, we are called to act in the same manner. We are one body with many parts, and each part is to do his or her work to accomplish one common goal, introducing the lost world to the message of Christ. We can catch as many as we can, but it cannot be done alone. The second point, the second characteristic is dedication. After casting the net whole night, the apostles were busy men during the day as well. The caught fish had to be sorted for sale. The nets had to be washed to remove any silt and has to be mended about any holes or tears that were happening during the night. If you recall, when Jesus called James and John, they were mending the nets together with their father, which means after the whole night, the nets were broken and they were fixing those nets. Then the nets were hung out to dry and folded for the next catch. Fishermen are dedicated. Fishing requires a lot of great faith, patience, and dedication. Every time we go out to fish, they do not know if they will catch anything, but they'll still go and try. On top of that, they might go for hours, perhaps days, without even having a food. A fisherman's faith, patience, and dedication keep them in the sea so that they can keep fishing and not give up. Jesus knew what was ahead of his disciples. He knew that his disciples had to stay dedicated in times of trouble and storms. And for us, we are called to pick up our cross and follow Christ daily. It is never promised life will be easy, but it is promised the Lord will take care of us and heaven will be worth the wait. In our journey, we also need to have faith, patience, and dedications for people to know Jesus. For some of us who have tried to share the word to our friends, our family members, we know we need a lot of patience and faith for them to come to know Jesus. Third characteristic is courage. Fishing can require a person to travel deep and into treacherous waters. It was common in Jesus' day for fishermen to be caught in fierce storms while on open water. It was their courage which pushed them back to go into the water after experiencing these storms. Much courage was required. It is always require courage when you have experienced something that is hurtful, that is scary. It's easy to say, okay, I'm not going to go back in. But for these fishermen, they had to do this every day. So for us, much courage is required as well for Christians. There are a number of circumstances that could cripple us with fear, but we must continue on the journey of life. This takes courage. Did you know that the most repeated command in scripture is do not fear? the Lord knew life would be rough and tough. So he gave us an encouraging command to have courage in the face of fear. Psalm 46 reminds us the Lord is our refuge, strength, and protection. If we are having some sort of fear on spreading the gospel, in him, we can have courage, like these fishermen, to go and share the good news to others. The fourth is this fishermen were equipped. Fishermen are skilled at using their equipment. Good fishermen have a tackle box filled with various baits and lures, each one assigned for a specific task. Fishermen know each one's job and how to properly use them. They are skilled at using their tools and equipment. I know how difficult this is because once I went on a shrimp fishing in Kwun Tong with colleagues as a team event. And I remember how many times I poked my fingers when I was trying to put the bait into that hook. For those who know that those hooks are really, really sharp. So I think I have so many holes in my finger during that time. And then a staff would come, and when he see you are struggling, the staff will come and say, hey, let me help you. And then they'll do it like so quick and without any issue. Why? Because they have been doing the same thing over and over again. They were skilled. They know how to use that particular hook and use that bait. In the same way, we need to be good at skilled at our equipment and the tool that we have in our hand. What is that tool? God's word. We have scripture. It is our double-edged sword and our standard of living. Jesus shows us how to use our sword in Matthew 4. Jesus was just been baptized, and immediately he was led into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Satan tempts Jesus, and every time Jesus runs Satan off by quoting scripture, there is great power in God's word. So we need to be skilled in using when we are sharing the good news. And the last one, the fifth one, is they were obedient. Fishermen knows how to take orders. When Jesus called Simon and Andrew, at once they left their net and followed him. Their response to Jesus was immediate. Some other examples of the instinct of obeying was when a night of fishing resulted in empty nets. Jesus told Simon to go to deep water and let down the nets. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. The key here, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught many fish to the extent that their net began to break. Because you say so was enough for Simon to forget about how his experience or how his previous experience was, but to follow what Jesus told him. There could be time of questioning and debating for sure, but fishermen know sometimes that the difference between failure and success is the timing and the location where they cast the nets. And for us as Christians, we need to develop this skill of hearing from him, of listening and obeying the Lord. So may I invite Marcus now for leading us into worship. So Peter, Andrew, James, John were fishermen. And when Jesus called them to be his disciples, he spoke to them in a language that they would understand. He said to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Something that they would understand and they can relate to. As his followers today, we may not be fishermen by profession, but because we are called to be fishers of men, to be used by God to see people go into a relationship with Jesus and God's kingdom to grow. One important thing is we should notice that Jesus did not tell his disciples, "You will make yourself fishers of men." No. Instead, he said, "I will do it. I will make you fishers of men." And he is making the very same offer to all of us today. When the apostles were fishing, they will usually catch three main species that are in the lake, in the sea. One of them is St. Peter's fish. For those who have been to Israel, we have tried this fish and it's quite yummy. And there's another one that is carp fish and catfish. So why am I saying, what's the point of having these three different type of fishes? So actually the Jews did not eat catfish because it was considered unclean, as it did not have fins or scales. However, they were able to sell catfish to Greek communities on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. So from the beginning, Jesus already hinted to the apostles that his idea of salvation is not only for Jews, but for Gentiles as well. They were to be fishers of men for both Jews and Gentiles, the way they also fish and catch different species of fishes. So let's spend some time and ask the Holy Spirit if there's anyone you want to reach out to spread the good news today. As long as we are led by the Holy Spirit and do it with sensitivity and love, God will put word in our mouth, a word that will show God's love to that person and that will bring conviction in leading to repentance and salvation. In times like these, God is waiting for his fishers of men to rise up and be used by him to see breakthrough in someone's life. So let's ask God to make us fishers of men. So yeah, let's pray.
He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hand. I have a maker. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my everything. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I go. I have a Father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when.
Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to serve you, Father God, Lord. But I pray that all of us here and those who are listening, Father God, that we'll be guided by you, Lord, guided by you to go and share your word to people around us, Father God, so that we can bring hope into a broken world, Father God. I pray that you anoint our tongues, Father God. You anoint our hands and feet, Father God, that will go out to share your good news to people around us, Lord. And on top of that, thank you, as the song said, you know our name, Father God. You know who we are. You know our fear. You know our everything, Father God. Yet you will use us mightily, Lord. I want to thank you for that. Thank you for being such a good, good father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are going through cancer and having chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery as well. Let's lift them up now. Next page. Let's pray for those that are ill, but also pray for their salvation. Let's lift up all these people on this list that today they'll encounter your Jesus love. Next slide, please. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are having infirmities. Next slide, please. Thank you. Let's pray for people that are looking for jobs. Next slide. Thank you. Let's pray for our U.S. Mission focus. Let's pray for SP New York. Let's pray for North Korea for open doors for ministry. Let's pray for mission opportunities and partnership in Asia. Also, let's lift up the persecuted church, especially in the Middle East. I just want to let's lift up the country of Afghanistan as well, and all the brothers and sisters that are there at this moment, that the Lord will protect all of the people that are being persecuted. Let's lift up our SP weekend gatherings in person or people that are having it online. Let's pray for the Sunday services, the well, SP kids, the worship, hospitality, SP youth, spin and spill services and activities, migrant workers classes, word class, PMC, and all meetings. Let's lift this weekend up. Let's lift up our pregnant ladies, our sisters in this house, Catherine, Kathleen, Eunice, Yiling, and all others. Let's lift them up that God will be blessing their babies and their moms and their health and everything. And finally, let's lift up Hong Kong. Could you lift up the city that we live in, a place that most of us call it home? And let's continue to Yeah, pray for this place. Pray for the people that are here. Pray for the Holy Spirit to be brooding upon this city, that there'll be countless opportunities for us to share the good news to people that are living here. Whether it'll be missional work, or whether it'll be evangelizing, that we will be used mightily to have a positive impact in this city. Yeah, Father God, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us, Father God. I pray that continue to bless us and anoint us, Father God, Lord, that we will continue to be fishers of men, Father God, that we'll be equipped by your word, Lord, and the word will not only be used to speak to others, but also will speak to us, Father God, Lord, that we'll be anointed by the Holy Spirit to go and preach your gospel to people around us, Lord. But thank you for today, Lord. Continue to bless the rest of the day today, Lord, and bless the rest of the weekend, Father God. That your presence will be upon all of us wherever we go. We want to thank you, and in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys, and see you next time.